American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. In this edition, we welcome back James Chambers Clark with Abate of Tulsa. James, thanks for coming back again.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's always interesting to have you come by.
Interesting would be the operative word. I get it.
Yeah. So first of all, of course, you're here because May is Motorcycle Awareness Month.
That's correct.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
But we want to talk first of all about Abate. What is Abate? How do people get involved? That kind of thing. So first of all, let's just start with a definition.
Okay. Abate is the acronym. It means American Bikers Aim Toward Education. We are, in our world, an MRO, Motorcycle Rights Organization.
Yep.
We are not a club, even though we do have some social events. We meet once a month. And for the most part, people know us only one-dimensionally, which is the toy run. They don't really know that behind the scenes that we have people working with legislators to make Oklahoma a great place to ride motorcycles by either passing laws that benefit us riding or kill laws that would be detrimental to our riding. And that's kind of what we are in a nutshell.
So do you know, you say you're not a club, you're a motorcycle riders organization.
Rights.
Is that what you said?
Motorcycle rights.
Rights organization.
Yes, correct.
Okay, motorcycle rights organization.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's what you call yourself, but do you have a membership? How does that work?
It costs $25 a year to become a member.
Okay.
And again, we meet once a month. And the meetings generally go over things that are relative to motorcycle riding in the state of Oklahoma and even nationally through the Motorcycle Riders Foundation. So we try to stay abreast of what's going on not only just nationally, but also in our own state. Because, you know, you don't ride just in the state of Oklahoma necessarily. You'll ride into Missouri and what have you. And some states, you know, might have laws that would affect you. As an example, there's some states that might still have a helmet law. You know, in Oklahoma, it's still optional. Now, I ride with a helmet. Most of the people that I know ride with helmets. And that's a good thing, but it's our choice to do so. And so we kind of take on the mantle of trying to keep Oklahoma a state where helmet laws are optional. And
well,
of course, there may be some pushback on this too, you know.
You would promote people to ride with a helmet, right?
Well, we promote them doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
We want them to have the choice. You know, as I said, many of my friends all ride with helmets, but it's our choice to do so. I don't want it mandated. And I can't give you the statistics because I don't have them in front of me. I wasn't prepared for that, but there's a slight difference between a fatality or an injured motorcyclist who has a helmet versus one that doesn't have a helmet. And oddly enough, the one that has the helmet has a tendency to be a little bit more critical. Yeah. And I tell you that because there are situations like maybe the rider slides across the pavement and the lip of the helmet could catch him and result in a head or neck injury, the possibility of an EMT that has been not possibly trained or a first responder. And I'm not pointing any fingers here. I'm just saying
it's a possibility. Yeah.
Yeah. And they try to remove the helmet and there's been a neck or a head injury, and doing so that exacerbates the situation. So I have a tendency to think that probably most of the first responder already knows how to do that now. But the point being that statistically, there's a little bit more of injury with a helmet on than without.
Okay.
But I still would not want to take that chance. I prefer to wear the helmet. My friends prefer to wear a helmet.
Okay. So in your group, since it's not you don't have a membership per se, do you know how many people are members of your organization?
Statewide, we probably have 700.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
It's not bad. And it was greater than that. And it continues to grow. I mean, like any volunteer organization, there's an ebb and flow, you know, to the membership. And $25 a year is not a lot of money.
No.
And so we are always looking for people. And anytime I'm out somewhere and I see somebody, a motorcycle, I try to introduce myself and tell them about who we are and what we do. And we get people showing up, new folks all the time. So it's a very fluid organization in terms of membership.
So once a month you meet. Now where do you normally meet? Do you move around?
Well, we've been meeting at the Mazio's at 51st and Sheridan the last Thursday of the month. at 7 p.m.
How many people normally show up?
Well, it depends, you know, 25, 30, 40 sometimes. We'll pack the room.
Yep.
And then but sometimes there's something going on, maybe spring break or, you know, an OU football game. everybody has their priorities, right?
That's right, exactly right. So with that in mind, interesting question. How many, what would you say is the percentage of men to women in your group?
Well, that's a good question. Women motorcycles, female motorcycles are an emerging group, you know, and Harley Davidson knows this, and I'm sure the other motorcycle manufacturers do too. There are some female motorcycle clubs, all female riders. Mm-hmm. Women in the Wind is one, great bunch of ladies.
Is that local?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they have a chapter here.
Okay.
Great bunch of ladies, and they all ride bikes, of course. So in our meetings, sometimes it's a 50-50 deal, sometimes it's less. But as an example, my wife is an officer and has been for the last few years. Mm. Does a remarkable job. And another friend's wife is our secretary. And so we have women getting involved. And statewide, all of the officers in our organization from a state level are women. The president, you know, treasurer, vice president, all of them, and doing a great job.
All right. So in terms of the things that you guys champion, you've already talked about one of them, and that's the option to wear a helmet if you want to in the state of Oklahoma. So what are a few of the other things that Abate has been involved with over the years in terms of legislation?
That's a real good question. We've been involved. Now, there's a law that we call Gunner's Law.
Okay.
Named after one of our brothers that went down some years ago. And what that means is that when I go get my tag for my bike, I'm assessed an additional $3 that's escrowed into an account that's used to support motorcycle safety classes and share the road programs across the state. So we want to get the message out about motorcycle safety, motorcycle riding safety. We also want a grassroots for people in it. We go into high schools, we go into elementary schools. Anybody will have us to talk about motorcycles and to look for motorcycles out there. And I use this, and it's a cliche, I suppose, that if you hold your index finger 1 foot in front of your face, that's enough to obscure a motorcycle rider. Hmm. But if we have kids in the car while you're driving going, "Hey, Mom, look, there's a motorcycle." Or instead of the slug bug, we go slug motorcycle or something like that. Yeah. And the kids can kind of challenge one another. But it brings to the surface that there's a biker out there to everybody in the car, particularly the driver, because we want them to be seen. So that's something that we've done. We have the red light law that if the motorcycle isn't heavy enough to activate the mechanism at a light, then after we've done our due diligence, and you know it's cycled through and it's safe to do so, we can run that light.
Okay, so I guess in order to explain that, some lights are on a timer and they just cycle through, but yeah, some lights are based on whether or not there's business going on the street.
Yeah, there's weight. There's weight there, right, there is, to activate
by
them.
A weight plate there at the light that will make it turn green.
Yeah.
You guys on the bikes, obviously, in most cases, aren't heavy enough to trigger that weight to make that light turn green, so you're sitting there for an inordinately long period of time at 4 o'clock in the morning with nothing going on.
Exactly.
So you can basically drive through that red light after you've looked both ways type situation, and that's legal.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to do your due diligence, and it has to cycle through. And that law is most of the policemen know about, but I've heard a couple of stories where a biker has been pulled over by someone who said, "You ran a red light." Well, yeah, but my bike didn't trigger the mechanism, and the law says I can do that. Oh, I didn't know about that. Look into it. Oh, you're correct.
Yeah.
And so we're allowed to go on. I'm trying to think of some other things. I know there are. There's the PGR, Patriot Guard Riders.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with them?
No.
Patriot Guard Riders, my understanding is that they began in Broken Arrow, and it was a gentleman, I guess, who lost his son overseas. And there is a group out of Kansas that protests military funerals. They're not a very nice group, a bunch of people. And I don't want to wax spiritually or religious or point any fingers here. But You know, when you have a son or a daughter that's been lost in the military and you have protesters there basically ripping the military and some lifestyles of that exist in our world today, that's painful. And so the PGR riders were originally set up to kind of be a buffer between the family and these protesters. But they've also gone on, they, you know, if there's a someone coming back from overseas, a lot of times they'll meet, greet them at the airport, and they do things like that. Well, it's a procession, particularly in a funeral. And one of the laws that we implemented is it's against the law to interrupt that procession. That is now a ticketable offense, which I think is all well and good. It should be. I mean, if you're there to guard or to escort, if you will, you know, the decedent, a military decedent, that's sacred.
So you guys basically, if you're in the procession, it's illegal for another vehicle to then interrupt or break that procession in any way. Okay, that's interesting. Did not know that that law existed, but it's a good law.
Yeah.
All right, so in the midst of all of this, in terms of May being Motorcycle Awareness Month, what is it that you would want a normal, you know, or an average driver to know? I don't know if there's any normal drivers out there.
This is Oklahoma, right? Yeah.
So let's, the average driver of a vehicle, what would you want to tell them about motorcycle awareness and motorcycle safety?
That we're out there, we're on the road with them, be aware of us and share the road with us.
That's pretty simple.
That's pretty much it. We just want it. There, we have a significant motorcycle population in the state, and certainly in Tulsa, and we're out there all the time. And, you know, you hear this, a biker goes down and the driver that hit them or caused it, oh, I didn't see them. Well, yeah, you need to see us. We're out there. You know, a lot of us, and they, I know we get comments about having loud pipes, but, you know, in our world, loud pipes save lives, because if you can't see us, sometimes you can hear us.
Well, that's a good point.
And so, and I realized that there's some pipes out there that are pretty obnoxious. I had them on my bike.
You there know. Are cars that are the same way.
Exactly.
So you can't really complain about bikes.
Well, only to the extent that I've driven down the street from time to time or gone through a parking lot when I had extremely loud pipes on my bike, and I'd set off car alarms.
That's a bit loud.
It is. You know, but they knew I was there, right?
Yes.
So there's kind of a fine line there between being a creating an awareness and being a nuisance, at least on my bike, because I had two-inch straight drags on that thing. And it was my friends wouldn't ride to the right side of me because of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to chase a rabbit here for just a moment.
Sure.
I've read, I think Harley's one of them, and there's another one out there, too, that they're coming out with electric bikes.
Yes.
So what's your thought on that?
Well,
they certainly won't be noisy.
No. Well, I have heard, and I hope my good dealer friends will back me up on this, that there's a sound card.
Really?
No, I don't know that for a fact. I don't know if this is some sort of, you know, idea that somebody has put out, you know, with tongue in cheek. You know, how I feel about it, I don't know. I mean, I'm a traditionalist.
Right.
Cars should be gasoline. Motorcycles should be gasoline. Mm-hmm. But we both know that Tesla is one fast automobile,
yes,
and
is
a very popular car.
Yep. And
I'm
very
interested.
Expensive too.
That's true. Yep. And I'm interested to see how the motorcycle relates to a certain part of our population. Whether it's going to be because they want something that's extremely fast, because that's a direct drive. I mean, you just twist the wick on that thing, and it goes like similar to what the Tesla does. But I don't know whether the hardcore guys like I am will be interested in that. Now, maybe if they look at it from the speed standpoint, because a lot of guys like to go fast,
right,
that might have a real appeal for them. There might be the millennials who are more, shall we say, eco-friendly or take that
right
position.
Right.
That might want to do it. But one thing that I do know is a lot of the children of bikers my age don't have much of an interest in a bike. They don't care about it. So, you know, my daughter's not likely to want it if I get to a point where I don't want to ride anymore, or my son-in-law. So, but they might, or, you know, people of their ilk may want to look at the electric bike. It's a, I don't know. I'm sure Harley's done their research on it. So
the let's go back to the Mayo's Motorcycle Awareness Month. I think it's probably an interesting thing to bring up in that as far as the laws are concerned, and in any vehicle, any person that owns a vehicle should already know this, that the law basically states for every 10 miles per hour that you're traveling, you should put one car length between you and the next vehicle. Mm-hmm. Now, we normally think about that as being one car length between my vehicle, my car, and the next car or truck or, you know, four-wheeled vehicle mm-hmm. that we see. But that is also a law that applies to motorcycles as well. But because they're small, mm-hmm. people tend to crowd them.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. I have gotten a little edgy, shall we say, a time or two, driving down the street, and had a vehicle pull as I was riding, be right on my bumper, or well, my rear tire.
Yeah.
And as soon as I stop at an intersection, it's right on my rear tire. Well,
that's really illegal. I mean, it's not, in terms of what you're saying, obviously you're frustrated by it, but they could be ticketed for that.
Well, yeah, but I've never heard or seen that happen. But my concern is that if this guy is two or three feet behind me and somebody hits him, he's going to go into me. Neither one of those cars will probably be hurt because they have 5-mile-an-hour bumpers. Right. Now, that's assuming, of course, that whoever created the impact was going slower than the speed limit, shall we say. So my bike goes down. I go down. There's going to be damage to the bike. Possibly bruises or knows what happens to me. But if I'm sitting there and somebody hits me, the bike's going to probably fall over. And it could create issues physically for me and certainly for the bike. So I don't like that. And I had a guy follow me one day down the street. And I finally stopped and I turned around and I was less than kind. Because every time he would pull up behind me, I'd edge up a little bit to maintain that safe distance between us. And then he would edge up too. And I'd move up a little bit more, and he kept doing it. And finally, I'd turn around and had a discussion, pretty much one-sided. And from that point on, he left me alone. But, you know, people don't realize that, one, that we're out there. But number two, if it doesn't take much of an impact for us to have an issue.
Right, because the weight differential between vehicles and bikes
is two wheels, four wheels.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. So let's go back to Abate again, and just do you have a website? Is there some way that if we're talking to some motorcyclists right now and they're looking at $25 a year and thinking, hey, that's $2 a month. That's pretty cheap to be involved with a group that is promoting safety and motorcycle rights to the Oklahoma legislature. How do I get involved with that? What would they do?
Well, just abateoftulsa.com. And
abateoftulsa.com, A-B-A-T-E of Tulsa.com.
Yeah, and then we have, of course, a Facebook presence.
Yep.
And we try to keep things relative and that's so people can go and find out things that are going on in our – we have a post a calendar, but we not just post our events, but other things that are motorcycle relative to going around the city and the state. So we try to stay, current.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are a lot of activities that go on in the state of Oklahoma – through all kinds of motorcycle organizations, whether it's Abate or whether it's Bikers for Christ, some of the Christian groups that are having rallies, or Down Bikers Association. And there's also BACA, which I think everybody's familiar with. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of activities. So we try to stay on top of all of that.
Okay, good. So abateoftulsa.com, if you want more information about the organization, $25 a year. If you're a bike rider, if nothing else, it would be a great way to meet new friends and other people that have the same persuasion. All right, James Chambers Clark with Abate of Tulsa. Thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Burt Williams.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.